Ganz herzlich möchte auch ich heute Abend
I also would like to welcome all of you in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We will start this service by singing from this little booklet songs. We start with a song number 8. With a song number 8. One more thing for the brethren who have no place to sleep. Please, at the end of the service, come to the front and then we'll take care of it. Thank you. We sing now together song number 8. Pass me not, O gentle Savior.
So song number one.
Song number one.
I will sing of my Redeemer. Song number one.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ich glaube, wir können
I believe
so weiter singen und wir
we can sing on like this.
Von unserem Jesu nicht
we
genug
can actually not sing
wir wollen
enough about our
Bruder
blood
und
of our
Lord.
Before Brother Schmidt and Brother Miller will pray with us, I would like to read Psalm 121. Let us stand up for it. 121, Psalm.
Ich hebe meine Augen auf zu den Bergen, von wo wird
I lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, who has made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. Heavenly Father, we are coming to you in this hour. And we say thanks with all our heart as we look up to you, the living and the true God. You alone are worthy to receive honor, praise, and glory and adoration. Lord, we thank you that you are giving us the opportunity time and again, Lord, to come together, Lord. But we are looking around us and we see how many are passing by and are not coming. Lord Jesus, thank you that you have given us the grace that we can come, that we recognized, that we received the Lord of heaven, because in you is the salvation, in you is the redemption, and in you is the power. We thank you for it. My God, bless us tonight, Lord. Go from through our midst. Go from heart to heart, O God, and speak thou to each one. Give your word. Open our hearts, Lord, so that they are opened, and so that your word is received, that our ears are hearing in the right way for the praise and glory of your name. So we ask you, Lord, also, bless all over the earth. Everywhere where your people are gathering, wherever they are listening, my God, we ask, bless them and give grace that we are all having part in the goods of your house. Lord, we thank you also. Bless and anoint the lips through which you will speak. You know what we are looking for. You know all our needs. And please answer everything for the honor of your name. Amen. Beloved Lord, I also would like to thank you with all my heart that we can be gathered in your presence. Beloved Savior, Lord, it's your flock, and the true shepherd are you. You are watching over your flock, and I'm asking you, Lord, bless it from the riches of your grace. May tonight, through the proclamation of your word, such a faith be worked, as with the woman who had the issue of blood. May I only touch the hem of his garment. Yes, Lord. Yes. Bless your people, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. I desired to have the supper with you.
Oh.
Yes, Lord Jesus. He's talking, praying too fast. Bless your servant from the riches of your grace. To you be the praise and honor. Yes, Lord.
Wir rühmen dich, Herr. Wir glauben einfach, Herr, dass der kluge Knecht
We believe that the faithful servant has the true message for the wise virgins. You have blessed us all these years through. Amen. Thou art worthy. Let us sing. You may be seated. Once again, be welcome
in the
precious name of our Lord. We have greetings and wishes of blessings. We received them from many brethren, from many countries, from Moscow, from Russia, Ukraine, Bielorussia, Moldavia, and greetings from all of Africa, from one end of the continent to the other. Then we have greetings from Denver, Colorado. Greetings from Edmonton, Canada. Then we have greetings from Switzerland. Greetings from Palermo. Greetings from Brother Graf, Brother Etienne Genton. Greetings from Brother Wallström. Yes. And once again, greetings. And again, greetings from all our brothers with whom we are joined with the people of God worldwide. Then we have visit in our midst. A brother from Benin is in our midst. Perhaps he stands up. Be welcome in our midst. He has a TV program, 2 hours in a week, I think. And God could use him mightily. And he invites that we are coming to have meetings there. God bless you in our midst. Then we have our brother Daniel from Timișoara. God bless you.
Stand up that everybody will see you.
God bless you in our midst. We have Brother Didier from Paris in our midst. We have the brethren from Brussels in our midst. Where is Brother Tati? Brother Leonard, all the brothers, the Lord bless you. May he bless all the ministering brethren. This is for us very important, yes? Also here we have our brothers from the neighboring countries. God bless you. May he bless all who carry his word. This is our prayer. Brother Müller, he expressed something in this prayer which really touched my heart. There's really a divine message for the wise virgins which are taking heed to that what God has to say unto us in this time. I have greetings from many brethren from the Philippines to give to you, from Australia, from that area. God has blessed in a wonderful way the final meeting in Manila was also more than 1,000 people, about 60 ministering brethren were present. They were coming from the various islands to hear the word of the Lord and to get questions answered. It's just so nice when the Lord has His ministers all over. I see brethren from Finland. God bless you in our midst in a special way. Yes, we are really happy about all who can still come. The times are getting expensive and they will not get better anymore. Then, last weekend, on Friday and Saturday, we had two nice meetings in Graz, Austria, in the English language. It was very good. The brethren came from West Africa. They had their meeting, and Brother and Sister Lackner made the connection. And God has given the grace as much as we can judge it. And He will have His way. Then we were in Zurich last Sunday, and God again helped me, and He has given grace for the preaching of His word. We don't take it for granted, but we thank God who gives us always His word by His grace. Now, I have to give you greetings from South America, and they are really very touching, addressed to me and to all of us. The last question: who is here today for the first time? Let me just briefly see your hands. Or please, stand up. Yes, why not? Stand up. There we have friends. Very nice. For the first time. God bless you in a special way. Just feel at home in our midst. Recently, we found out that the love is getting more and more, it's getting deeper and deeper. The fellowship with the Lord, much deeper. And with one another, it gets deeper and deeper. Then I may not forget to always announce that God willing, and if we are still on this earth, in April next year, from the 6th to the 16th of April, we will have an Israel trip. May God give grace for it. Let us sing two or three choruses, and then we will come to our word observation. They come from the east and west. Chorus number one. Let us sing it with a thankful heart for the glory of God. Chorus number one. I love Him, I love Him. And chorus 3, chorus number 3. I want to see him. That's how it will be. After the battle, there will be glory, joy, always. And God will wipe away all the tears from our eyes. And we will be forever with Him in eternal bliss. Today, we have the word observation in the beginning, in view to the events which are now taking place worldwide, but really, very briefly, and that for the one reason, to show us, also to show with this, that we have come very, that we are closer to the end, that and that the Bible prophecy is being fulfilled in all areas. To this, I would like to read a word from the prophet Daniel, chapter 10. Daniel, chapter 10, verse 14. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision refers to the end time. I'm not an expert in politics, neither in economy, but from the sermons of Brother Branham, from the first seal, I found something, and this I would like to read to you. Namely, that what is now taking place, I read from the first seal, page 54 in the German seal book, page 167 in the English seals book. Quote, I believe I mentioned it not long time ago concerning the United States. In this money situation, what will happen to the states in this money situation? We are now paying our debts by the taxes, which will get in only 40 years after. So far, we are behind. Did you hear the news from Washington? We are totally bankrupt. What is the cause? All the gold is piled up, and the Jews possess We know whom the big shops belong, shopping malls, the richest of the world has Rome. The rest belongs to the Jews. Notice this. Listen now how the Holy Spirit has shown it to me. And then Brother Branham comes to Daniel chapter 9, verse 27 of the covenant which will be made for the last week between the Vatican and the Jews. It continues on the same page, 54, and in that time this prince will make a covenant with Daniel's people, that means with the Jews. This will happen when the bride is being taken away. She will not see it anymore. At another place, Brother Branham says very clearly that the making of the covenant and the rapture is happening almost at the same time. Now, the last part of this quote, notice, remember, in the last half week, this prince will make a covenant with the Jews. He makes this covenant because of the riches of the world. Because the Catholic Church and the Jews possess the riches of the world. And then perhaps the two quotes here of page 55. After the church is being taken away, Rome and the Jews will make a covenant with one another. The Bible says that they will do it with the holy people. Why? Why will they do it? This nation is bankrupt. Also, the rest of the world, which stands on the gold standard. You know that. If you can only live on by taxes, which are due in 40 years, how is it then with us? Then the repetition again. There's only one thing what can happen, and this would be to get the money in and to pay the, but we cannot do it because it belongs to the Wall Street.
The Wall Street
is under the power of the Jews. The rest is in the Vatican. The Jews have the rest in the Wall Street by the world economy. Now one more thing of page 56. When he then all money under his control, then he will make this covenant, he will break this covenant with the Jews. As Daniel said it here, in the midst of the 70th week, Daniel 9, 27, he will then all the commerce, all the economy, and the traffic of the world, he will possess it. It is a covenant with the world because he will have the whole riches of the world in his hand. You all have heard the news. I also already said I'm not an expert, neither in politics nor in economy. But so much we all understood that there's no solution for the problems of this world. And also politically not, and economically not. I just read the places from Daniel, Daniel chapter 8, Daniel 8, to just illuminate this a bit, and this only because of the reason to show us that it will not go on like this for much longer. Daniel, chapter 8, verse 23-25. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are to come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy fearfully and shall prosper and accomplish and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy, through his cunning deceit, also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes. But he shall be broken without hand. That's how it is written. And that's how we experience it now in part. Brothers and sisters, precious friends, Bible prophecy is really has very much advanced. And we see it also now in the political realm. One just has to imagine after the Second World War, the division of Germany, the division of Berlin, division of Europe, and this went on up to 89. Yes, and then 14 states received their independency from the Soviet Union. And just a few days ago, NATO made their exercises, their military exercises in Armenia, before the door of our friend in Moscow. And all this really serves for the purpose that the Russian, as the king of the north, seen from Israel, one day he will have judgment, as Brother Branham has also seen it very clearly. He predicted it. And also, please, not politic, but I just say it briefly. What we are now seeing, be it in Eastern Europe, be it in the Middle East, everything and again everything is fitting into Bible prophecy for the end time. And we can really lift up our heads and we can know the return of our Lord is really at hand. Let me to this read from Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 15. Matthew 24, verse 15. wo unser Herr, where our Lord also at that time was referring to that what is now, what will now take place. Matthew 24, verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. And then we are told what shall be done in Israel, to what they should take heed to, and what they have to do. In Mark 13, the Lord said it even more clearly. Mark chapter 13, in verse 23, comes then the command, but take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. And before, in verse 14, but when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of, standing where it ought not, standing there where it ought not to stand, there it may not stand. There it doesn't belong. So when you see, when you will see the abomination of desolation standing there where it ought not to stand. And nevertheless, as we read it in the prophet Daniel, this last world ruler will not know any measure. He will go beyond measure, every measure, and he will also lift himself up over the Lord. In Mark 13, we have also verse 27. Verse 27, Mark 13, verse 27, and then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. And then comes the verse 28 of the fig tree. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. So, the Jews of all over the earth, from one end to the other, they were gathered. Not the Jews from the Wall Street, who have also the world capital in their hands, but those Jews who now are hearing to the voice of God, who take the promises of God seriously and who are returning into the land of their fathers, into the land of promise, to have part in that what God promised to them, and what he is also will do in their midst. We have said it many times, and we will repeat it. Parallel to this is really running the calling out from all denominations, from all religions, the calling out of the Church of Jesus Christ. And we thank God for the message which he addressed to us, and that we really can believe and every word of God that we get it revealed by the Holy Spirit. Not one has to teach the other one. We are all being taught by God, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, which teaches us as John has written in his epistle. The word gathering, we also find it in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel 36, where the Lord speaks of his people Israel, and where he speaks of the gathering of his people and of the bringing back into their land. Ezekiel 36, verse 24. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. And then we are told what will happen when this takes place. Verse 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. And in connection with this, it's written in verse 26, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And then comes the wonderful promise, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And then the wonderful promise that he will take dwelling, verse 28. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God.
Und ich will euer Gott sein.
What shall we say to it? We could maybe read Luke 21, verse 24. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. But now it's about the church. It is about that, that we are being called out, that we are gathered, that we take a bath in the Word, washed in the blood of the Lamb, and by this waiting for the return of Jesus Christ, not waiting in vain. May this, what Brother Müller prayed here in this prayer, what he brought before the throne of grace, may it find fulfillment. That the divine food which was entrusted to us, that it really is being received by those who are ordained to be the bride church, who are part of the wise virgins, that they really have part in the Word, and that they have part in the fulfillment of the promises in our time. Also this we have said many times here. Perhaps we didn't emphasize it. But Brother Branham, for instance, 1962, four times he spoke of the storing in of the food. In detail, he spoke about it. And altogether, he spoke, of course, many times about it. But not a single time he was told that he would give it out. Not a single time. Every time, it said, store in the food. He shouldn't come to Europe anymore, no more to Switzerland, no more to South Africa, but return to Jeffersonville, to his home church, and store in the food. I'm writing it now in the circular letter. And brothers and sisters, God was taking care of it, that we have the precious word of God, the spiritual food, because man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word which proceeds from the mouth of God, that we have this revealed word, this precious word of God, that we may carry it. We are not on the way in our own name, in our own matter, but we are preaching and proclaiming the whole counsel of our God. And whoever has an ear, let him really hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. The way with the church, already in the Old Testament, we read it in Psalm 127, the very well-known word to us, Psalm 127. Here it says,
wenn der Herr das Haus nicht,
except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord build the house, and his house are we. But he's only building his church, not a church, but his church. That's how he said it in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, very well known to all of us. Matthew 16, verse 18, second part, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will build my church. And this is the church of the firstborn. The church which came forth from the Spirit and Word of God, and which was born. Also this, we time and again, we emphasized it. The divine seed is the most important in this time. And the seed is the Word of God. No interpretation, no explanation, but the original Word of God is the seed which was sown into our hearts. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Brothers and sisters, most certainly we will have to go some trials which others don't have to go through. which others don't have to go through. The attacks of the enemy were always against Israel, against Jerusalem, in all of the Old Testament, since the leading out from the land of Egypt. In the New Testament, the attacks of the enemy always were against the church. And therefore, our Lord said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. They will be against it, yes, but they will not prevail against it. Brothers and sisters, also about this, I was thinking about every time when the trials were coming upon Israel or upon the church, then God always knew how it will go on. God, in the Garden of Eden, he knew how it will go on. It didn't look good. It didn't look good. Eve was deceived. Adam was also pulled into it. And then they were driven out of paradise. But how will it go on? Adam didn't know it. Eve didn't know it. But God knew it. God knew how it will go on. And also this, we have to always imagine. If the fall wouldn't have happened, then the redemption plan would not have come into force at all. And what would God have had? He would have had created sons and daughters, which he has created. But that was it was not about this. It was about that sons and daughters begotten, which are coming from him, coming forth from him. From him, and therefore, the new beginning in Jesus Christ, the second Adam, by begetting, by the Spirit, thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. The new beginning of this new divine creation, and we are begotten by the same Spirit, by the same Word. We were born again by the same God to a living hope. We are sons and daughters of God by His grace. I will build my church. In 1 Peter, in chapter 2, the man of God spoke about this building. 1 Peter, chapter 2, from verse 5. Ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Ye are builded up. I will build my church. I am the cornerstone. Ye are the living stones which are being erected, which are being built up unto a spiritual house, house of God in the Spirit, so that God can dwell among us, so that He can walk among us. Then the man of God comes to the scripture in verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be put to shame. Whereupon could we put our trust, our faith? Only on him. Only upon him. And he who started his work in us, he will also finish it unto the glorious day of his return. The scripture says, I live. I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. And upon this cornerstone, the church is founded. And the cornerstone is also the capstone. He who made the beginning, he will also make the completion. And God, who completed the creation work, he will also complete the redemption work. Once again, of the trusting in verse 7, unto you, therefore, who trust, he is precious. It is yours. Whatever God promised is ours. It belongs to you. It belongs to me. And brothers and sisters, we're not only observers. We are not only spectators. We are receiving it. We are accepting it. By his grace, we may experience it. It becomes a reality in our lives. Unto you, therefore, who trust, God has put this confidence in us, into us. From our own, we didn't bring anything. Everything are you, O Lord. Everything are you, O Lord. And unto you, therefore, who trust, he is precious. Then are coming the unbelievers. But unto the unbelievers, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is made the cornerstone. The unbelievers, they are rejecting. The believers are accepting, are receiving. The believers are experiencing what God has given us. The unbelievers, they are rejecting it. Then it continues in verse 8. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. Yes, whereunto also they were appointed. We believe in a predestination which concerns us, the believers, but also the unbelievers, because they don't believe and because they don't obey, therefore they are ordained. They are appointed to stumble. We are appointed to be built up unto a house of God to bring spiritual sacrifices. Now, what time and again touches me, or what I'm reminded always, is Luke chapter 7. Where the scribes and the Pharisees, for themselves, they rejected the counsel of God for themselves. Luke, chapter 7, verse 29 and 30. And all the people that heard him, and the publicans, justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. Brothers and sisters,
das war nicht in das Ermessen der Zuhörerschaft gestellt, sondern es war Gottes.
It was God's acting in that time. The bridge, the beginning, was made between the Old and the New Testament. About this, no scribe had to judge about it. God gave promises. The time has come. The hour was fulfilled, and God did what he promised, namely Isaiah 40, verse 3. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight the path for our God. And then the spirits are separating. Then it becomes serious in that moment where Bible prophecy is being fulfilled on the earth and where God makes history. Then the spirits are separating. The ones are receiving and the others are rejecting. Verse 30. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him.
What were they
thinking? Are we of need? Are we in need? We as the teachers in this time? We who we have Moses and the prophets, must we submit to a man who suddenly comes up with something, who baptizes? Why should we? What have we to do with this man? And this was the big problem. And if I read here, that they rejected the counsel of God against themselves. This hurts. This hurts. We're singing psalms, bringing sacrifices. And please, excuse me if I mention this now. But in Krefeld, now the nicest synagogue was introduced, which has costed millions of euros. What good? What avail is such a nice synagogue? For what? What good is it? If one bypasses that what God has done. Brothers and sisters, we can only thank God, daily thanking Him for the great privilege which He has given us to believe, as the Scripture says, also the promises for our time, which we time and again in every sermon are emphasizing anew. We have to. That's what's all about. To believe, as the Scripture has said, to believe what God has promised for us. The best, I'm succeeding if I make all the missionary trips where one really can preach the whole counsel of God in a very short form. Brothers and sisters, That's what's all about today. What did God promise? There's somebody is taking photos. Please not. And this, we just have to accept it this way. As God promised it in His Word. Let us come to the point. If Brother Branham speaks about that he really was divinely commissioned to bring the message before the return of Jesus Christ and putting the emphasis on that the biblical doctrines about Godhead, about baptism, all the Bible subjects had to be put anew upon the lampstand, then this was, of course, not his decision. Then this was the decision of God. Because God, of course, said, before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes, that he would send a man like Elijah to restore all things. And brothers and sisters, I've said it last Sunday in Zurich, millions of people are reading the same Bible. Thousands of preachers, evangelists, charismatic personalities are reading, of course, the same Bible. They are reading in the prophet Malachi. They are reading Matthew 17, verse 11. Verily, Elijah comes first and restores all things. They are reading Mark 9, verse 12. Elijah comes and will restore all things. And they are reading over it. Why do you see it? Why do I see it? Why does it address you? Why does it address me? Because we are having part in that what God promised for our time. That's what's all about now. Not that somebody explains to us, oh, this is already past. This what was past doesn't help me at all. I need that what God is doing right now. Not what God did 2,000 years ago, but that what He is doing right now, according to the promises which He has given unto us in His Word by His grace. Now, quickly, the scriptures of the building of the church. I will build my church. And in that connection, the Lord, in the next verse, He said unto Peter, I give you the keys of the kingdoms of heaven. I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. You have access. Before you, nothing is hidden. Nothing will be closed up before you. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And when Pentecost came, and when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit took place, this man of God had the key to open, to held the first sermon, and to say unto the crowd, repent and be ye baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, to confirm it. For unto you is the promise, and unto your children, and unto all who are afar off, as many as the Lord shall call. And the question, why are all the great personalities, why are they bypassing it? And are really refusing strongly to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. In that moment, where one starts with this, then they are really getting uncomfortable. Then they really are getting uncomfortable. I also experienced it, not only one time, but time and again. Yeah, why? Why do they reject against themselves the counsel of our God for this time, where everything has to be restored into its original condition? Why? Why, you scribes? Why, you charismatic personalities? Why do you reject the counsel of God for this time? Why do you refuse? Why do you oppose the Holy Spirit? And why do you remain in the traditional doctrines about the Trinity and about the Trinity baptism? And you don't let yourselves be corrected, and you don't let yourselves be brought into conformity with God and His Word, but are rejecting, opposing, and are rejecting His counsel for your person. And then it becomes very serious. if these personalities, then according to Matthew 7, from verse 21 to 24, are appearing before the Lord, and then they are proud and puffed up, have we not done this and that in your name? And the Lord will say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I don't know you. I don't even know where you are from. But we have in your name, but I don't know you. I don't know you. Depart from me. And here, we have a very serious point, brothers and sisters, without any fanaticism, that we are now understanding that the Lord God makes history, that the counsel of our God was being preached anew, and that the end has become like the beginning was, the same baptism, the same sermon, as it was at the beginning, so it must be at the end. And to this, God has given the various ministries into the church, as written in Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 11. Ephesians 4, from verse 11. And now the question, do we find ourselves again? Where do we find ourselves in the Bible? Where does the Word of God places us? Ephesians 4, from verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. For the edifying of the body of Christ. The purpose is, verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is the goal which the Lord has with the church. And then in the next verse, we are told why this is necessary. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, who is the head, even Christ. And then comes the divine subordination. Verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, and not by an apostle or by a prophet, but from whom, from him, the whole body of Christ is in subjection to him, with all gifts and tasks, with all the ministries. Verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied. Please, by every joint, by every member, not by every joint, by every member, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase, giving the growth of the body, giving the growth of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Here it is about the building up, about the growing of the several members which are joined with the head. Also this we have said time and again. Our connection must be to the Lord. And I'm writing it now very briefly, but be honest now. If I could only report of experiences which I had in the meetings of Brother Branham, and if I could not report of what I personally experienced with the Lord, what would I have of it? What? And I'm saying this with an honest heart. In the USA, there are many brothers who can say, the prophet told me this and the prophet told me that. One just has to watch the four DVDs and everybody says, this the prophet told me. And then comes the big question, what did the Lord tell you? What did the Lord tell you? Brothers and sisters, we are thankful to God. With all our hearts, we are grateful for the prophetic ministry. But the prophet he shows the way to the Lord. He prepares the way for the Lord. He is not preparing himself. No prophet blows his own trumpet. But a true man of God prepares the way for the Lord. Now, today, we will have the Lord's Supper. It has become a custom now. Or not a custom, but it's like always in October, we are celebrating the Lord's Supper. To this, let me read some scriptures. The first one from Hebrews, chapter 9, Hebrews chapter 9. And please receive every word, go with it on the inside, be connected with God. Hebrews 9, and here we are reading verse 11, Hebrews 9, from verse 11, we all know these scriptures. But Christ, being come as a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained an eternal redemption for us. With his own blood, he entered into the most holy place. Verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Also tonight, it shall happen with all of us. Today, all who didn't have yet an experience with God, they shall experience the grace of God. Who didn't experience a conversion, may they experience their conversion today. Your coming must be worthwhile. Also for the young people who perhaps are still bound to some things, who perhaps are having cigarettes with them and sometimes they blow them in the air. God is present today to save, to deliver, to help, to deliver from all bondages. The blood speaks for us. It acquits us. And then we are reading here, we are reading on in Hebrews 13. And here it's the verses from verse 12. Hebrews 13 from verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. By his blood, he suffered outside the gate. To this we read from the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter 19, to show us from the Holy Scripture precisely, here we have the description. John, chapter 19, and here we read verse 17, and he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place outside the city, outside the camp, outside the city, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. There they crucified him. So, outside the city. All of us who were in Jerusalem, we know where Golgotha is and where the garden tomb is. In verse 20, it says, this title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. So, outside the city, outside the camp, and therefore, back to Hebrews 13, verse 13. Let us go forth therefore unto him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. Also we have to come out from all churches, from all denominations, and we have to bear the reproach of Jesus Christ if we want to be crucified with him, to rise with him unto a new life. Let us go forth therefore unto him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. Also you and I, we have taken the reproach upon us. We have come out of the churches, from the various religious camps. We have come out, and we may bear the reproach of our Lord. But at the end, we will exchange the reproach with a crown. It will be worthwhile. It will be worthwhile to serve and to follow the Lord, to leave everything and to serve him faithfully. Now, concerning the Lord's Supper, let me to this read, especially from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, to show us from here what actually was meant and what is actually meant. In John chapter 6, we all know it, of course. The fathers were eating manna, and all of them, they died. And then he says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. And the disciples said, Lord, give us also of this bread all the time. John 6, verse 34. And then in verse 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. And time and again, but even more, he spoke also of the blood. Let us read verse 51 in John 6. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then verse 53 in John 6, then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. What is it about here? It is about that in the blood is the life. And in the Old Testament, we have looked upon these places. We were reading it. In the Old Testament, in Leviticus chapter 17, we have the description of the blood and the life which is in the blood. And in chapter 16, we have the description of the atonement which the priest had to give for the people. It was about atonement. I just read the scripture here. In Leviticus, in chapter 16, verse 32, for on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you, to cleanse you, that ye may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. Then verse 33, last part. And he shall make an atonement for the priests and for all the people of the congregation. Verse 34, and this shall be an everlasting statute unto you, to make an atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. Then we come to chapter 17, from verse 10. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. Here we have the point. The blood of the animals may not be eaten.
Was wollten die Leute denn mit dem Leben, das im Tiere war?
What should the people do with the life which was in animals? They needed divine life. And in the blood of the Lamb of God, there is the divine life. And therefore, we are shown here, whoever drinketh my blood, let us read it. Verse 11 and then verse 14. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. An atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. It cannot be said any clearer. Verse 14. For it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore, I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. Now to the New Testament. In the blood of the Redeemer was the divine life. The divine life we all need to live eternally. And so we are thankful to the Lord, because thus it is written, in him was the life, and the life was the light of man. Now from John 6, verse 54, John 6, verse 54, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Brothers and sisters, we have part in the redemption which God has given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Golgotha is a reality. Our redemption is a divine reality. Already here on this earth, by the faith in Jesus Christ, in the redemption work, it is done. Because our Lord cried out, it is finished. Receive it. Receive it by faith. It's yours. It's yours. It happened for us. And as written here, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, whoever receives me as I am, fully. We could go to Isaiah 53 and to other scriptures. We are receiving our Lord fully, completely, as he received us and as he revealed himself to us. He has shed his blood. He has given his life for us. And as I said it many times, at Pentecost, the life which was in him came upon the church, came into the church. By the Holy Spirit, the divine life came into the blood-bought flock. And now we also, we may live in him And we have our being. In the New Testament, we have especially in the Gospel of Mark, the words of our Lord, of the Lord's Supper. Here we read, perhaps in chapter 14, Mark 14, here we have the words for the Lord's Supper in Mark chapter 14. And here we read Mark 14, verse 22-23. Mark 14, verse 22, perhaps up to 25. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread, and blessed, and broke it, and gave to them, and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. We don't want to go into the various translations, but the Lord, of course, didn't pour out the cup, and he didn't sacrifice the bread on the cross. He brought his body to the cross, and he shed his blood. But everything what our Lord said, always in parables, always he spoke in parables. He always passed it on in parables. The blood of the covenant is not in the cup. Also in that time, it was not in the cup. The blood of the covenant was the blood of the Lamb of God, which took away the sins of the world. And our Lord didn't enter with a cup of wine into the Holy of Holies. No, with his precious and holy divine blood, he entered into the most holy place. But as the Lord, in John 6, he was speaking of it, I am the bread of life. Whoever eats me shall live, and the blood, and so forth. So, we have in the Lord's Supper the memorial to that what really happened with the body and the blood of the Lord on the cross of Calvary. And so, that all understand it properly, it says in verse 25, in Mark 14, verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Also we, one day, for the last time, we will have the Lord's Supper here. And then we will drink it anew. We will celebrate it new in glory. Blessed are those who are invited for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Then we have the words in 1 Corinthians, chapter 10 and chapter 11, to show us once again that nobody has to change the wine into blood and not the bread into the body. No, it is already now what it is. And in 1 Corinthians, in chapter 10, It says in verse 16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? You see, what's all about? The communion. The life which was in the blood is now in us. We have communion with God. We received life from God. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the fellowship of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? And now something very powerful comes. Verse 17. For we, being many, are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Now we are the body, a single body. For we, being many, are one bread and one body. Brothers and sisters, here is the great mystery. In Christ, the bridegroom was the bride already. She just was taken out from him. And she is again brought to him. But what is a bread? What is a bread? We have a wheat field before our eyes. And the wheat field is being harvested. The wheat is being grinded. And then we have a bread. We being many are one bread. Brothers and sisters, we are of one flesh. We are a body of the Lord. We are not several here and there, but here in the summary, we are making up the body of the Lord. Many, many members, but one body. One body of the Lord, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb on the cross of Calvary. Now the words in 1 Corinthians, in chapter 11, from verse 23. 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, from verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body for you. Not only my body, no, body for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. A memorial to that what happened on the cross of Calvary. As we break the bread, we remember that the body of the Lord was broken, was bruised, and that he on his body, he bore all the sicknesses unto the cross. And by his precious and holy blood, he has forgiven, he covered all the sins, and he has forgiven them. So, as we just now are breaking the bread, and as we will drink the cup, just in the full confidence, it happened on the cross of Calvary. As a memorial, as a memory, as a, to bring it in remembrance, to always show us what happened on the cross. If you take the bread, when you take the bread, then you remember your Lord and Redeemer. You say, "Dear Lord, on the cross of Calvary, you have given your body. You have given yourself for me. You sacrificed yourself." And when you take the cup, you say, "You made the new covenant in your blood for us, and we may be children of the new covenant." And we received the new divine life by His grace. Then, verse 27, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. This examination is not being done on the other. Here we are not judging the other. Here nobody is judging the other one. Everyone examines himself, and after that let him eat. It doesn't say, but let, it doesn't say, and then let the cup and the bread pass by. No, then it says, then eat. If you examine yourself, and if you find something, bring it to the Lord. Bring it to the Lord, who sacrificed himself for us, who really on the cross of Calvary, who really, whatever he was and whatever he had, he sacrificed it for us. Examine yourself, not the other. Stand before your Lord, and if you find something, bring it to Jesus. As the songwriter sings it, tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is your friend and your helper in need. By the way, he is also the high priest. He is the high priest who understands us, who understands each one. Whether the brother or sister understands you is another question. But he understands you. He has come to us. He walked on this earth. He endured everything. So, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat. Please, receive the redemption which happened on the cross of Calvary. Receive it with all your heart. God made a new covenant. We are reconciled with God. Our sin is forgiven. Everything was made well. The letter of requirements is torn into pieces. Receive it. Also you, who you perhaps are hearing the word of God for the first time in such a way, receive it. Accept it. And thank God for the redemption by the blood of the Lamb. Thank God that His life may be in us today. In Him we live and are and have our being. Whoever has eternal life, he has the same divine life which was in the blood of the Lamb. Because the life is in the blood. And therefore, in the blood-bought flock, the life and the nature of Jesus Christ is being manifested with all virtues to Him, the faithful God, who has pardoned us in such a way and who has loved us so much. To Him be the honor. Believe it, receive it, and especially if you believe the word and the promise for this day, brothers and sisters, I say it in reverence before the Lord. This is a sure sign that you found grace in the sight of God. All the others, they are of course bypassing it. It has nothing to say to them. Nothing means to them. Why were you addressed? Why was it revealed to you? Because you are part of the elect. Don't let yourself be accused by the enemy anymore. Show him the way, the accuser of the brethren. Show him his way. We are pardoned, we are free. And the Lord God bless us all and be with us.
Amen.
Let us stand up. Perhaps we will sing a chorus. Perhaps the sisters have a song. And then we ask the brothers to break unto us the bread and to prepare the Lord's Supper. Who says a chorus? Pardon? As just as I am. Let us sing. Let us become silent before the Lord. Brother Müller, will you come to the front, please? Then together with Brother Schmidt, you will thank for the bread. Then we will call upon a few brothers. Would you like to thank for the bread? Great God, we say thanks, Lord, with all our heart for the grace and faithfulness which you accomplished yourself for us. We thank you that you accomplished the redemption and as a symbol, a body which we have before us. Lord in heaven, it is in remembrance of what you have done for us on the cross of Calvary. Lord Jesus, we thank you. You, the one, you died for all of us. And so we all for you, Lord Jesus Christ, give grace that we partake of it. Thanking you, praising you, as you broke it, Lord, O God of heaven, so we also will break it now, and you will bless it for the glory of your name. Amen. Dear Lord, I also want to thank you for this wonderful covenant which you made for us, Lord, that we can have part
on the body, on the bread, and on the blood. Praised be your name, that you have given us the assurance that your life is in us, and that we have a communion with you. Lord, today it was shown to us so clearly, the purpose. To you be the thanks and the praise. Please, everyone who partakes of it, let him be blessed. In the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah. Amen. Let us remain in prayer. And if the sisters have a song, Brother Terai, will you please come? Brother Ziegler?
Also, ist gut.
Mein Gott. Wer gleich Blut traut die Sünde, soll sie werden weiß wie Schnee. Wer gleich Blut rot die Sünde, soll sie werden weiß wie Schnee. Und was so rot wie Scharlach, soll wie Wolle sein. Wer gleich Blut rot die Sünde, wer gleich Blut rot die Sünde, soll sie werden weiß wie Schnee. Soll sie werden weiß wie Schnee. Hört die Stimme, die ladet, o bekehret euch zu Gott. Hört die Stimme, die ladet, o bekehret euch zu Gott. Denn er ist voll Erbarmen, seine Treu ist groß. Hört die Stimme, die ladet, hört die Stimme, die ladet, o bekehret euch zu Gott, o bekehret euch zu Gott. Er vergibt Übertretung und gedenkt der Sünde nicht. Er vergibt Übertretung und gedenkt der Sünde nicht. Kommt zu ihm, ihr Müden, denn bei ihm ist Ruhe. Vergibt Übertretung, er vergibt Übertretung und gedenkt der Sünde nicht, und gedenkt der Sünde
nicht. Shall we sing this chorus once again, all together? Let us sing all together.
If he could forget what was not right before him, let us also forget everything and let us leave it behind us and let us thank the Lord with all our hearts for the redemption. Now, for one moment, we want to close our eyes. Let me ask whether some people are here, friends, brothers and sisters, who would like to be included into this prayer. Whatever it might be it salvation, be it healing, be it other needs. Also young people have problems. Old people have also problems. Who has a special request? Raise your hand. Yes, yes, there are some. Now look at that. Look at that. The Lord wants to make all damage well. Believe it. Believe it with your heart. Let us sing, only believe, only believe. And please believe it. Faithful Lord, with all our hearts we are thanking you for your presence. You are present. I thank you for it, precious Lord. And as you were celebrating the supper with your disciples before your sacrifice, so our brothers and sisters, after the resurrection, they also celebrated it together with you and also among one another. Precious Lord, we thank you that you counted us worthy to partake of this Lord's Supper in remembrance to the finished work of redemption. You were bruised and you were sacrificed. You have given your body
as Haupt, um dir den Leib als Gemeinde
to redeem as a head your body so that you can dwell in us and so that you can continue your work and so that you can complete it. Beloved Lord, I'm asking you now, give all to my brothers and sisters the faith and the confidence that you made all things well. All things you made well. Your blood covers my sin. My Redeemer, bless all, bless all, and may all partake of it, and may all be blessed, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Then let us stand up. Let us thank our Lord together. Heavenly Father, with all our hearts we thank you for such hours which we can experience together in your presence, in your name, to hear your word, to get it revealed by your Holy Spirit. You have opened and anointed our eyes. Our ears you opened. You have given us the understanding for the fulfillment of the scripture by your grace. Thank you, Lord, for the word of prophecy. Thank you, Lord, for the word, for the teaching word, for the evangelistic word. Just have thanks. You have revealed your will and your word. Thank you for it. We thank you for it. Precious Lord, lift up thy countenance upon us and give us thy peace in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.